Let's talk a little bit about your musical career. I mean, let's talk about the early 60s. Where were you in the early 60s, and what were you trying to do? And we'll talk about that leading up to this audition that you had for this group called The Monkees. But talk a little bit about, you know, pre-Monkee era, so to speak, as to where you were musically.
I was, playing folk music back here at the house. When I'm now living in the house my parents moved the family to when I was 13, and across the street was a girl who also loved the folk music as it was coming up in those days. Pete Seeger, early Joan Baez, a lot of that, and including some Flattened Scruggs, which is an awful lot of fun. And we went to the Newport Folk Festivals and so on. We were playing folk music for years, and then when I got the chance to do pretty much whatever it was I felt like doing, I went straight to Greenwich Village and began to work in the basket passing coffee houses there. I didn't know what would become of them. I never, didn't give it a second thought. I had a chance to play on these little dinky basket passing stages, and I took it. And all I wanted to do was play my music, and so I did. And then I got a job as an accompanist for a folk trio singing bunch, gospel folk singing, out of the Belafonte Singers, a trio called the Phoenix Singers, and Onward and Upward. And then I was walking down the street and in New York City, I think I was on the Lower East Side, and I was suddenly struck informed. I can't explain it much better than that, but I knew I was supposed to get out of town. There are those who would say I had been visited by an angel, and there were those who would say I was delusional.
Instant karma, so to speak, huh?
Say again?
Instant karma?
Kind of, I suppose. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not my use of the word, but these things get a little slippery, so I couldn't tell you. Anyway, I headed out to Southern California shortly thereafter. I arrived there at the beginning of July. And
what year was this, Peter?
65.
65, okay.
Yeah, and it was amazing because I was only three at the time. but I landed in Southern California in the beginning of July, end of June, and I think it must have been only a month or two before I started making the connection with the Monkees.
Yeah. Do you remember, talk a little bit about, how you heard about the whole Monkee thing and the Monkee audition, and talk a little bit about that experience.
It harkens back a little to my village days. At one point, suddenly everybody came running up to me and said, "There's a new kid in town. He looks just like you." And about 2 days later, I ran across this kid. I said, "You're the kid that looks like me." He said, "You're the kid I'm supposed to look like." And we laughed and shook hands. It was Steve Stills.
Oh, wow.
And Steve and I became pretty good friends and we even worked in a group together for a little while. And both went to California at the same time. And we worked together again out there. And shortly after that, he called and said, "I just met this guy who's making a TV series based on Hard Day's Night, and you should try out for it." And I said, "What about you?" He said, "Well, they like me, but they think my hair and teeth won't work." And they asked me, this is still Steve talking, "Do I know anybody who looks like you, like me, who has one-tenth my talent?" And I instantly thought of you, Peter. and I said, "Gosh, Steve, a tenth? I would have gone for the 20th.
There you go, right.
I'm cool about that. I'm all over that. And he had to call me twice. He said, no, you really have to go. I said, "Oh, all right." And I finally went up and walked into the middle of the audition. And the rest is a hysterectomy.
Yeah, the rest is a hysterectomy, as they say. So. What do you remember the audition? Do you actually remember the audition, what they asked you to do?
Well, the first thing was I walked into the office of one of the producers, Bert Schneider, and he had his feet up on his desk, so I put my feet up on his desk, and he offered me a cigarette, and I said, "I don't smoke those." And he said, "Yeah, I can't go getting wasted on the stage." I said, "I can avoid that," I said, fingers crossed. Not that I'm promoting it. I don't touch this stuff anymore, and I absolutely do not promote it, but it was funny at the time. And I guess the rule was if the one producer didn't hate you, he sent you to the other producer. That would have been Bob Rafelson, of Bob Rafelson fame. And if he didn't say no, then they had one at me come up for what they call the personality test, which is they just turned the camera on and asked questions. And those of you who, you, Mike, and those others who follow the monkeys closely, know that one of the TV shows, one of the episodes, they had Mike and Davies' personality tests, which is another story. That was how the monkeys got aired in the first place. But to continue the story, after the what they call the personality test, they actually gave us a full-fledged screen test, which is, in that case, it was script, director, action, the camera moves, makeup, the whole thing like that. It was different. And then that was eight guys. And then they took these eight screen tests. Five screen tests, because I did mine perfectly on the first take. And they asked me and my partner to swap parts and do it again. And that was, I think, impressive, one of the things that got me the part. Then they, you know, introduced the four of us to each other, said, "You guys are the monkeys." We said, "Okay," shook hands and said, "Hi." Like, "Who are you and what have I tied my life to?" But we shot the pilot that October or November in San Diego. And they put together the pilot, cut it together, and ran it for a test audience. And it scored about as low as it's possible to score.
Oh, my gosh, really?
Yeah, really. And, you know, Bert and Bob were, like, shocked and devastated. And they refused to give up, bless their hearts. And they took the movie home, the half-hour situation comedy pilot home, and cut in, because what they discovered was, or what they figured, was that the audience didn't want to watch four snarky kids wreck everybody's life, which is, it's like the Marx Brothers, only you don't know the guys. So they threw in Mike and Davey's personality tests, and everybody thought, "Oh, aren't these guys cute?" And then it was okay, because, you know, there was this thing called sympathetic identification. If you can't have that, then you don't care what happens on the screen. If you've got it, you care a lot.
Right.
And that's what they did. They put the personality test. Everybody cared. And the reaction, the audience reaction, they tested it again, and the reaction went through the roof.